Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Let us pray together, please. Our gracious God, again this year we have found the time of Easter one which has reminded us of your endless love for us. Our emotions have been stirred as we have read the gospel accounts of the ill treatment and injustice meted out to Jesus. Even on a human level, we are ashamed of man's inhumanity to man, let alone to ignore the claims of Jesus to be your Son. We offer no defence for such action, except being tainted with the very sin Jesus came to bear. On his journey to the cross, we are so grateful that Jesus was willing to continue despite experiencing the hatred by some and disregard by others of the very people whose sin he came to bear. We are utterly relieved to come to Easter Sunday and rejoice as the angel told the women at the tomb to do on discovering the empty tomb. We would pray to ever have the courage to declare to the world the miracle of the depth of love you showed us, dear God. Teach us that love cannot have reprisals, only invitations to be redeemed. And may our joy in all you provide be a reflection of our gratitude for allowing your beloved Son to be our Saviour. This we ask in the precious and worthy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The words and music of I Serve a Risen Saviour were written by Alfred Henry Ackley, who was born in Pennsylvania in America, but he studied music at the Royal Academy of Music in London. He was ordained as a Presbyterian minister in 1914, and during his lifetime he wrote around 1,500 hymns, and he died in 1960 in Los Angeles. I serve a risen Saviour, he's in the world today. Bible reading, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. Thine Be the Glory is a hymn written by the Swiss Protestant minister Edmund Boudry and set to the tune of the chorus "See the Conquering Hero Comes" from the third section of Handel's oratorio Judas Maccabeus. The tune of Thine Be the Glory was written by Handel in 1747, intended for use in Handel's own Joshua oratorio. However, when it was played, it was popular enough that Handel added it to Judas Maccabeus. And in addition, in 1796, Ludwig van Beethoven composed 12 variations on it for both piano and cello. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. A second Bible reading now from Luke chapter 28, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. The song "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus" was written by Helen Lemel, who eventually became a vocal music teacher at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois. After retirement, she moved to Seattle, Washington, where she was a member of the Ballard Baptist Church. And the tune is named after her, Lemel. God's tithes and our offerings. Those who have received Jesus as their Saviour will want to share the love of God to those who have yet to experience what it means. We do that by ensuring there is sufficient finance for the ministries which are working hard to continually share the gospel. Can we spare a few moments in prayer as we consider to where our finance should be allocated, please? Almighty God, thank you for entrusting us to finance your work here on earth. Guide our thoughts, we pray, to where our finance is most needed. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here is a modern song written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, See What a Morning. It's become a favourite in many denominations, and I'm sure you'll enjoy singing it or just listening to it. See What a Morning. We come now to the choral piece, Anastasis. My good friend, the much-talented Richard Phillips, set to music some words I had written. Printed are those words of the poem around which Richard has woven his music, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Anastasis, or Resurrection.
Wasn't a glass of pity, it seemed.
Easter Sunday is the day we rejoice as we commemorate the raising of Jesus from the dead. That fact alone is sufficient to occupy our minds and hearts the whole day through as we express our joy at the miracle through music and fellowship together. It literally means eternity to us, so I hope these few comments will simply add to our celebration of the miracle of the resurrection. We're told in Matthew 28 that at the very first moment that it was possible, at the break of dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, thought to be probably Mary the mother of James, set out to go to the tomb. It says they went to look at the tomb. If we think that's strange, we only have to remember how common it is in our day for people to visit the graves of lost loved ones. We do that because somehow it brings back memories to us. As we look at the grave, we remember the last moments before the coffin was lowered from our sight. And we pay our tribute by placing flowers on the grave. It's a sign of our love for a loved one. Mary and Mary Magdalene went with spices to pay their last service to Jesus, to anoint his grave clothes. But there's a problem for them. On the way to the tomb, they realise, as we read in Mark 16, verse 3, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? To seal the tomb, a large circular stone would have been rolled to secure the opening. And such a stone could weigh anything up to 2 tons. It would have been rolled down a decline. To move the stone, it would have to be pushed up the incline. Certainly an impossible feat to achieve from the inside of the tomb. And also it would be an impossible thing for any 2 people, let alone 2 women, to do. So, as Mark says, they went to look at the tomb. We might say they went to size up the tomb so they could work out how to gain access to minister to Jesus with their spices. Undaunted and accepting that the last people from whom they could expect help to remove the stone would be the guards, who had already feared there might be some trickery, given that Jesus had said he would rise on the 3rd day, and Pilate gave orders, "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb and posting a guard. But when the women arrived and looked at the tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled away. In fact, to make the point that something quite miraculous had happened, Matthew's Gospel tells us that the women saw an angel sitting on top of the rolled away stone. Furthermore, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. It's interesting to remember that later on we read that Jesus appeared to his disciples on the evening of the 1st day of the week. That's in John 20, verse 19. The disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. In verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus didn't need an angel to roll away the stone from the tomb so he could come out. The angel rolled the stone away so the women could get in. The women discovered that when they went to minister to Jesus, they were thinking it could be impossible. But they found that serving him, however impossible it may seem, he makes the impossible possible. If it takes a miracle, let us never forget that an angel removed the obstacle that the women could not themselves remove. All God required of them was for them to show their love for Jesus by serving him. Despite the extra seal on the tomb, the angel had completely removed the stone so they could enter the tomb. Whatever God asks us to do, you can be sure that if it takes a miracle to do it, he'll provide that miracle to make it possible, to open the door of opportunity if we will walk in faith. That still applies for us even when we look at the task with which we are entrusted and it seems completely impossible. Mary bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. "Woman," they asked, "why are you crying?" Distraught, Mary replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Notice her description of Jesus, "my Lord." She was that committed to Jesus, to personally serving him. She was ready to minister for him. The angel told the women, "Come and see the place he lay." In other words, satisfy yourself. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen. Now go and tell others. When Mary turned round and saw Jesus standing there, she didn't realize it was him. She couldn't see him through her tears, and anyway, she would have been looking for a dead body. It's hardly surprising she didn't recognize the glorified risen Christ. But as he called her by name, Mary, she recognized him. Jesus knew that's all she needed to hear for her to recognize him, and she exclaimed, "Rabboni," or teacher. She was ready in an instant to minister not to him, but for him. May I suggest something perhaps a little unusual? But then this is Easter, our time of miracles. Would you come and look at the tomb? See the stone is rolled away. See inside and see it is empty. Then, for a few moments, close your eyes and wait and listen. Listen to the risen Jesus saying your name. John, Brian, Graham, Betty, Margaret, whatever your name may be, listen to your name and hear Jesus say to you, "Go, tell others I am risen from the dead, and in my name seek the lost as I have done. Do as I have done." Whatever limitations you may feel you have, whatever impossibilities you feel you face, you can rely on me to make the impossible possible. Would you listen now, please, and hear the voice of Jesus calling your name? Our benediction is the hymn, "Because He Lives." And we end our service today with that hymn of encouragement that whatever the future holds, we can truly face tomorrow because Jesus lives.
I'll fight like as final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know.
Because